Nothing is as it ever appears to be. And we've looked at the honeypot issue with Erica Kirk because we've seen the insincere grief. And I can say that without hesitation as someone who started on the side of wanting to support her and continue TPUSA. But when TPUSA is no longer TPUSA and we see celebration of money and glamour and not genuine grief, and continuation of a husband's legacy, it's easy to form these opinions. But what I'm going to give you here is not opinion. Who was this honeypot? What's the background? And we have to look at not only Erica Kirk and the fact that she's 18 years old and she's running this thing called Everyday Heroes Like You. And I know there's been a swirl of controversy around that. I'm not so much interested in going in that direction. But if you're wondering why we don't have information on that organization, the answer is multidimensional, but it centers primarily around the fact that they never have to file a 990 form because they never showed more than $50,000 a profit. Now, there's a lot of corporations that do this. This one doesn't necessarily do this because they're operating illegitimately. They take money off the books, but they want to remain some legitimacy. They stay below that 50,000 threshold so they can camouflage what they're doing. And I'm not saying that's happening here, but I'm saying it's something we should be mindful of. My name is Dave Hodges, and we're going to unfold the world of Lori France, Erica's mother, and how Erica enters into this. And if you had any doubts that there was an intelligence operation to infiltrate Charlie through the honeypot operation, and we call it Operation Honeypot. That's what I call it. I don't think there's going to be a lot of doubt after we tell you this. And then we found out that Lori's neighbors are interesting, and this doesn't prove anything, but I sure as hell think it should be investigated. This is off the charts nuts. Anyway, we are brought to you by a great series of products here. And our sponsor here is Body Align. And I personally use a couple of these products. Fortunately, I don't need the pain relief, but it's frequency based. And this is all frequency based because this is the rage of modern healthcare and also alternative healthcare. Non-narcotic, frequency based, effective, works. EMF defense for your computer, for your phone. I don't want glioblastoma, do you? This is the ultimate wellness band. I call it the energy band. Don't wear it 2 hours before you go to bed because it will keep you up. Completely natural, but it's better than an energy drink, which is to toxic for the heart. And then they have the sleep patch, and these are all great, great items here. And I'll tell you, this stuff works. My audience raves about these medical interventions that are frequency based, and you will too. Go to bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Bodyaline.com/Dave Hodges. Okay. Boy, I'll tell you, you look into Lori France, Erica's mother. This is pretty amazing stuff that I found. They supposedly developed a proprietary kind of spreadsheet that does some intel work, but I think it was merely an entry into the world of intelligence. That's my assessment here. The E3 Tech Group, TEK, E3 Tech Group, is about cyber operations. And at the same time they opened up this company, they opened up Everyday Heroes Like You in Romania. And Romania has an interesting history. Tied to the military base, we have pictures of Erica with General Otto Busher. And let's put it this way, the stories that follow this person are not flattering. And Erica should be careful because people judge you by the company that you keep. And his company was not very good. Let's put it this way. There's some really bad things there. And the Romanian government felt so too as they took legal action. Now let's go back to Lori's company here. It's located in Scottsdale. It's a spy company. It does work with the NSA and the DIA, which explains the Fort Huachuca presentation by Erica, the NSA EMP movie that was made, not released, at Fort Huachuca. The fact that Erica would be brought in for a high-level meeting a couple of days before the demise of Charlie at Fort Huachuca. The mom opened the door here for all this. Her work goes into the command and control center for the president. We're talking about control of nuclear submarines, related intelligence, National Military Command Center. And it's interesting too, I forget who pointed this out, but someone sent me a clip on this a couple of days ago that Lori Kirk's company claims to be woman-owned, so they get special consideration for government contracts. It's woman-owned, but also it's called 8A, minority-owned. She's white. She's a Caucasian. Kind of funny how that worked. How did she get that? Because she gets preferential treatment for government contracts because of that. We have pictures of her here, and this surfaced widely, and it didn't connect with me until I actually had decided to do a AI search on this. She has an E8 designation, and we saw the stripes when she was coming out of a government building. That means that she had to be an armed forces member or a former armed forces member, retired. And her designation would have been tied right to the Joint Chiefs. This is high-level intelligence people, very high level. E8 is also tied to ENSA, which is NSA spy strategies. And if you're dealing with EMP weaponry and prevention of EMP attacks, Fort Huachuca, this fits right in. This is high level intelligence. Now you say, okay, well, you can have a parent who's doing this work and the kid doesn't. I'm one of those people, okay? But when the kid shows up at Fort Huachuca and is giving a presentation on the necessity for expanding EMP defense programs, and we've seen that video all over the net, and I believe it was 2015, it's not like mother has separate life from the daughter. The daughter is brought into it. Now, that's that simple. It's that simple. This is, well, what I think. I can tell you what happened to my dad, and I'll tell you why I think this about Erica's mother, Lori. My dad was retired from the Navy 6 months before his separation date. But he got full retirement, full medical benefits as well. And what did he do? He immediately, we were living in Iowa and I was a small kid. And he immediately, within 10 days of coming back home from a military tour that was putting nukes on ships, highly classified at the time, he had to go from our home in Iowa to the Denver area to find a home because he had to start with Martin Marietta. And this is classic intel where they pull from military, they'll demilitarize you and but you don't, your benefits don't suffer. They bring you into private contracting to do intel work that the military can have plausible deniability and separation from, but they're benefiting from it from one of their own. That's what my dad did. I would say I see a lot of signs here with what Erica's mother was involved in. And this, I'm looking at my notes here on this. This is just absolutely, I think, undeniable. This is what she did. And the insignia gave it away. When I started to research, I said, no, I've seen this before. This is my dad rebirth here. And she's an intelligence operative cut loose from the military intentionally. And here's something I found that I think you're going to find very coincidental. Her son-in-law is executed. Now, I don't necessarily buy into the gunshot situation, certainly not a 30-06 from the building they claim. That's ridiculous. But let's entertain the gunshot theory for a second. At the Scottsdale address, and I'm not going to give the street address because I don't want people going there and bugging them, but they have a suite number, 101 for E3 Tech Group, Lori's company. In suite 100 is an organization of ex-military contractors that does sniper training. Now, I'm sure this is only a coincidence, but man, is that a cruel joke played by the world of coincidence, isn't it? Now, I can't be confused with a conspiracy theorist here because I don't think Charlie was shot. I entertain as my number. I had a debate with a very intelligent guy the other day on this. I don't think he was shot. I think it was the microphone, and I think electrocution was probably the mode of, let's put it this way, of execution. Now, I could be wrong, but it's either gunshot or that. But isn't it interesting that you have snipers that are next door? I think we even have a name here on this, if I remember correctly, Frere, Arizona guy. Interesting. Now, some other things that I have found out. Moralize from Erica Kirk. She was a real estate agent and just kicking butt in New York City. And she was highly successful and she was on her way to fame and fortune. Her podcast was off the charts great. I have to call BS on the whole thing because, as we have found out, she didn't get a real estate license until 1 month after she met Charlie. Her podcast was a nothing burger. I looked it up. Same place I've looked mine up. Erica, you got a ways to go to catch up to the Common Sense Show. We're in the top 0.5% of all podcasts. You weren't even in the top 50%, the top 75%. Your podcast was crickets chirping. And you didn't start it until after you met Charlie. So how the hell did you make your money? You're doing intelligence briefings. You're in New York City with no visible means of income that you claim because it had to happen after you met Charlie. When I said that Erica Kirk, in my humble opinion, was a honeypot operation, if this doesn't speak to that clearly, I don't know what does. What could have been supporting her during all this time? I mean, she lied about this now. She lied about her dating history. She lied about drinking. How do you rectify this or justify this? She lied about not being at Fort Huachuca. I had AI look at something related to Erica Kirk. And you know, I asked for the background. I didn't give it any context. Fort Huachuca. But I've been never there. I was never there. It's where you gave a briefing in 2015. This was a honeypot operation. Mom is high level intelligence. I don't even know if it's safe to say that. I better look under the bed before I go to sleep tonight because this is serious, serious stuff. And I can't say mom's involved in anything illegitimate. I mean, this may be great stuff for the country and she's keeping us safer at night. That could very well be true. But Erica did not have a normal upbringing because, unlike what my dad did with myself and my sister, we weren't brought into this. I had no, excuse me, excuse me. I had no idea what my dad really was doing during a period of time, except we knew there was security involved because we had the briefings. We had the polygraph tests. So yeah, I knew that much. But I didn't know any specifics. I asked my dad, well, we work on rocket designs. That was his answer to us until he actually told me before he died, this is what I did. This is what I did. My first public mention of this was after my mom passed because the people could no longer grab her assets coming from my dad because he may have violated Security Oath 450. I said it on Doug Hagman show. I know how this world works. I grew up in this environment. We had friends that were in the same business, family members like me who went through similar protocols. I know how this works. Erica was not separated from her mother. The briefings we see, the kinds of movie production she was involved in, speaks directly to her mother's work with the MP. Erica Kirk is an intelligence asset. Now, I can't tell you what agency she works for. I have no idea. Well, I do have an idea, but it's only speculation. We do know her predilection for Israel. And I've seen things to say this would be consistent with what you'd find with a Mossad agent working undercover deceptively. But I also see signs of CIA. And it can be that sometimes you're a contract agent and you're hired by whoever needs you at that time. And she could be that as well, too. Mom, on the other hand, here, I think is firmly, not that she hadn't done work with foreign entities. I don't know. I can't rule that out. But she clearly was tied into the defense apparatus of this country at a very high level. I suspect Eric is domestic, but I will tell you this, her Shabbat Shalom stories and her, if you don't agree with Netanyahu, you're demonic and evil and you're anti-Semitic, those pejorative statements, very pro-Israel, very pro-Israel. So her intelligence background is a mystery, but she is an intelligence operative. I have no question about that. She has all the hallmark signs. I shared this with someone who did this work. We're really good friends. And I'm going to see when I have him on the show if he'll allow me to recant the story. But he said to me, he says, we're on the phone and he says, Dave, I didn't think you were a dumbass. You're just figuring out she was an intelligence agent. And I said, well, I think I'm figuring out that I can fairly well prove it. And he said, this was obvious from the beginning when I looked at this case. And I agree. TPUSA is a for show entity. When I look at them, I'll make a comparison. When I go into my church, there is legitimate intent to serve the Lord and help people who are attending that church. I feel it. I see it. I experience it. When I look at TPUSA, I see a shallow presentation of Christian faith that is highly suspect. I see manipulation of political thought for personal gain and corporate gain. I see an intelligence apparatus. They are not what they were under Charlie. And Charlie's end days were spent with him trying to separate. I covered that in the previous segment, but his final days were not fun. They were torture, filled with paranoia, filled with statements like I'm in big trouble, confiding in people. And so much so that it wasn't a secret because we're hearing about it. There are many out here in the alternative media where TPUSA people that have a conscience are reaching out to us. Both past and present, and they're telling us this was common knowledge. Erica was taking over, particularly financially. Charlie was cut out of meetings as CEO. And a lot of times when Charlie would travel to do his work, that's when they would hold the decision-making meetings and Erica was in charge. Honeypot operation derived from an intelligence agency of unknown origin. That's how I'd categorize this. Like mother, like daughter, although I don't see anything in the mother's work here that's concerning to me. I don't see it at all. I actually see it as someone who helps make this nation safer. Now, I don't know the details of how her work was used. But with Erica, let's go to Vegas and put the odds on existing facts that this was a marriage of infiltration. Institutional redirection. How was she paying her bills for 5 years in New York City? I'd like to know the answer to that question because we found out how she didn't pay them as opposed to the lies she has told about this. What direction is Erica Kirk taking Teep USA? That's obvious. In my humble opinion, I'll say it this way. I look at Congress as a national security risk because AIPAC controls all by campaign financing, all but 50 members of the House and the Senate. Wouldn't you say it's a national security risk? It's not America first. Oh yeah, let me take your money here, AIPAC, and just remember though, I'm an American. I'm not going to do what you want me to do. But keep giving me money. Does that sound realistic to you? No, that's a national security risk. Your tax dollars not being spent in your best interest, policies being made not in your best interest as an American. That's our Congress. That's why I like the tossthemall.com movement, if we could get this off the ground. Tell me how Erica Kirk is different than this with TPUSA. Shut up. This is how Charlie died. Don't you dare look at this. That's number one. Number two, if you don't support Netanyahu, you're anti-Semitic. So if I don't support Hitler, I'm anti-German, which by the way, I'm German. I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, I say, how did this country get so bad? I mean, we got the Somali fraud. We got Newsom engaged in fraud that makes the Somali fraud look like recess. We have the undermining of American cities with communist leaders, Mamdani. Now we got this clown in LA running for mayor. He's got big support. Singham, CCP, Communist Chinese Party is behind this person. How did it get this bad? See, we need a purge. Not like the Bastille and the guillotine. That's too brutal for my taste. But we need a political purge. And the political purge is this. The 49 people that don't take donations from a foreign entity, China, AIPAC, whoever, they can stay. Everybody else needs to be unelected in the House in this midterm. A third of the Senate is up for re-election. They need to be gone too if they're taking any foreign money. That's the first step in the purge. You know, like I said yesterday, you can't, as the Bible says, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. So these people that take AIPAC money, do they hate Israel and love America? Then why would Israel keep giving them money? Or do they hate America and they love Israel? TPUSA, I already know what the answer is on that. That's why when you give your money to them, in my humble opinion, you are working against your own national interests. And you pay more tax. So they don't file their 990 forms on time. So they send $4.5 million to a UPS box in Queen Creek, Arizona, to Jake Hoffman, a state senator, is under a nine-count felony indictment. How did it get so bad? And so then I come back with this and I say, hey, look at Erica's mom's background and look at what Erica did. Erica is an intel operative, and that gives credence to the honeypot operation. How did it get so bad? How did it get so bad? I'm Dave Hodges. I'm looking forward to your comments about the sharing for our subscribers is really low. It has nothing to do with appeal. I need your help in overcoming that by sharing far and wide. People need to be asking these questions because we're coming up on a midterm. And do I think we can vote our way out of this? Probably not. Do I think we can improve our chances to change things? Yes, I do. And it starts with a clean sweep in Congress. I mean, 95% of these people need to be gone. That's the first thing that we need to do. You say, well, Dave, if I vote against a Republican, I'm going to get a communist Democrat. I agree. So you have to take them out in the primary. And actually, if we could direct people who think like us, the really truly MAGA crowd, not the pretenders. Well, there's pretenders. Anyone who is defending Erica Kirk at this point and slamming Candace Owens, they are not MAGA. They're fake MAGA. And often they're paid by Netanyahu $7,000 to $11,000 per publication, as we've established. We need to take these people out of the picture, and then we can begin to make changes. So in the primary election, you got, let's say, Joe the plumber doesn't have a lot of money, but he's on the ballot. You go, oh, I know this guy's bad. He's taking AIPAC money, and all you got to do is look up who their donors are, and you poop out. And so you replace the Republican incumbent with the Republican novice. And listen, I'm not in love with the GOP. In Arizona, the GOP is worse than the Democrats. Yes, I'll say that again. I'm not exaggerating. The GOP in Arizona is worse than the Democrats. If you want to find corruption in any area in Arizona, the GOP is at the center of it. Our former County Board of Supervisors, case in point, kicking Liz Harris out of a Republican-dominant House of Representatives in Arizona because she dared to bring up issues of election integrity at an election integrity conference with an approved guest. Oh, but that got her kicked out. And then she wins the special election to replace her with 70% of the vote, and they refused to seat her. All GOP. And then the GOP tried to bribe Carrie Lake on tape, the head of the GOP, on tape. How's he not in jail for facilitation of a bribe? The GOP. But nationally, if you vote for a Democrat, you know the excrement you're going to get. The only decent Democrat I look at right now across the country, the only, I think, really good person is Fetterman. And he has views politically I don't agree with, but I think he's honestly a pretty good guy. Most of them are in this cult-like, my eyes are frozen and fixated on the devil, and this is who they serve. They serve a devil, a cult. They took God out of their party platform years ago. I'm telling you, this is the only way to change things. And I've been saying this since 2016. I've been saying this for 10 years. Toss them all. But I can't attract people to getting this movement off the ground. But it's the only thing that's going to make a difference. Bitching on these platforms is not going to change policy. We're going to get lip service in election season every 2 to 4 years, and the same BS is only going to get worse, and it's getting worse. And now they're buying off people who actually support you. People that used to be on your side in the alternative media are no longer on your side because they're taking $7,000 to $11,000 from Netanyahu to write favorable positions on why America should be a colony of Israel. Let me know when you're all ready to get started. Because the answer is, if we do not, you're going to be living in just another nation. And it could be devastation, because there are people out there that think that the way that you control the world is to destroy the most, shall we say, civil liberty conscious country, and that would be us. And we may end up with real devastation. Or we just may end up just eroding to become a shell of ourselves. But when you have legislation out there, and I'm going to conclude with this, that wants to make it illegal, and I've been through this legislation with you in the last week. They want to make it a crime to boycott Israel. They want to make it so if you're critical of Israel and you do business, you can't get a government contract. And there's this little thing called the First Amendment. They tried this before and the Senate rejected it because of First Amendment issues. But the AIPAC lobby has grown so big, I don't know that that's going to happen. And where did we lose the idea that I could be critical of the American government but still be loyal to my country? So conversely, if I'm critical of the government of Israel, how does that make me anti-Semitic? Does it make me anti-American when I exhibit that behavior in my own country? But the minute I put it on a leader and I said what he did in Gaza was a war crime, then that makes me anti-Semitic. Can someone explain the logic of that to me? You are in danger of becoming, number one, in the short term, a colony of Israel for their foreign policy bidding with your resources and your manpower and your lives. Number two, long-range domination by the Chinese. That's your ultimate. Israel's not your ultimate enemy, and I'm talking the Netanyahu government, not the Jewish people. The Chinese are your ultimate enemy. But the Israelis are going to weaken us to the point where we're going to be supporting them on such a level that we can't sustain what we have, which is already in trouble. A lot to shift through. But to go back to the original point, Erica Kirk, intelligence operative, Operation Honeypot. I stand by those terms.
Dave Hodge is here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We have something here that's really interesting, and I'm going to refer to in the beginning of this report to Laissez-Faire Lounge. And she admits in a later video I watched of hers over on TikTok, she said, I couldn't sleep last night. And she said, I'm getting very nervous. And listen, let me say this to you. You're okay because you're public and other people picked up on what you've done. And what you have found are things that I have already heard to a large extent. Let me bring up this in just a second. First, I need to tell you this. People are saying, I'm so frustrated, Dave. I'm quitting my New Year's resolutions. I'll never lose weight. Well, try this first from BioTrust. It's called trimwithdave.com. Research galore when you go to the site. 60-day money back guarantee. You know you're going to lose the weight or you get the money back. And it's pills, not injections, no side effects. GLP-1 with all the benefits without the side effects right here. 44% off. Go to trimwithdave.com. That's trimwithdave.com. Let me see if I can't pull up her file. So let me just say this as a prelude to what she's going to tell you. It's been well known for years and years and years and years and years. The CIA recruits males on their missions from the LDS Church. The CIA does special CIA training classes to weed out undesirables, but recruit desirables in programs like CNSS. The CAI, yeah, kind of interesting play on letters there, isn't it? And she's going to draw some comparisons here that I think are noteworthy about why the CIA was involved with the Charlie Kirk assassination. No question that this is true. Let's go ahead and get right to it.
This week, I've been doing my own little off-piece Charlie Kirk investigation. Many of you guys have been following along. I've connected a lot of dots between the CIA, the LDS community, the Utah Valley University system, and academic centers in Israel, like the Jerusalem Center and Ariel University.
Isn't that interesting? CIA influence in Utah, especially at UVU, and links back into Israel.
I think I've kind of like reached the end of my investigation. And also I'm like kind of getting nervous. Like I couldn't sleep last night at all. But my main question now is, and I would like to turn it over to the authorities, Kash Patel, Donald Trump, this is kind of like for you.
You'll be waiting a long time, dear.
You to answer now. There is was a CIA professor at Utah Valley University, Rusty Needs. He was with the CNSS. I saw his bio, his photo. Just a few days ago, like 2 days ago, I took this picture from the website. I got his bio, everything, and he has now like disappeared. I can't find it anywhere online. If any.
Yeah, he's not the only one to disappear. So let me go ahead and good job breaking that. She broke that some time ago and didn't get a lot of play, although we had another angle of it with the CAI. And Tyler Robinson, when he was at Utah State University, was in one of these CIA courses. Yes, that's a fact. Rusty Needs is who she's talking about. Okay, but let's get into another aspect of this very quickly here. There are also six staff members that are ghosted from UVU. Elena Vasquez, National Security Policy, Mark Harlow, Counter Intel, Sarah Klein, Logistics, Jamal Reed, Track Coach, and Security Association. Boy, isn't that interesting because we know all the security problems that Charlie Kirk had in being protected, as well as T. Ramirez, same security simulations issue, and L. Patel. Event planning coordinator, remember the form they used, right? And I told you about this. The form did not have security provisions in paragraph one as it's supposed to. The form that TPUSA signed was devoid of that, but the standard form does include that. I wonder if this Patel and this Reed
are involved in this somehow, and this is your CIA connection on the ground. And now, guess what, boys and girls? They're all gone. Where did they go? Where did they go? Well, we have more that we're going to bring, but I told you this was probably a 2-day operation, and I'm going to stop here and not go any further with this today. And I'm going to do part two tomorrow, and I think I can conclude it tomorrow. I've got other things that I absolutely need to cover, but the CIA and Charlie Kirk, the CIA involvement in bad presidents and administering discipline, that's a nice way to say it. It's here, but we're going to go a little further. There's more to disclose. And like I said, when we get to the last part, Candace is going to tie things up for us, and it's stunning. It will leave you shocked. Stay tuned for this 2-day series. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. It's all coming together. The pieces of the jigsaw puzzle are finally falling into line. And what we have here is simply amazing. It's hard to even know how to break this stuff up because this would be a 3-part major feature movie if that's how we were going to produce this. But let me get right to the point. When I told you in a recent segment that the Fort Huachuca meetings that Erica Brian Harpole and Cabot Phillips, they attended, they were there. The alibis don't match up. It wasn't a planning meeting to cause the demise of Charlie. It was a contingency meeting. TPUSA is an intelligence operation. I mean, look at, they got a president elected. Look at the influence it has. It's intelligence. We need to make sure we keep this on the right track. So when TPUSA 1.0 dies with Charlie, we got to have a plan for 2.0. And I said this yesterday very clearly. Well, coming to surface now, thank you, Candace Owens. Again, stellar journalism. She is in a class by herself. And she said something that I looked at late last night. And I've reached out to people who are afraid of their own shadow. They're afraid of TPUSA, afraid, afraid for their lives. And I said, is there any truth in what Candace is saying here? And they said to me, two of three, yes, it's true. The third did not know. We're going to cover what's true and what's come out. And then the segment after that, we're going to go to a pretty lengthy, and I'll try to keep it reasonably lengthened, but a presentation that shows the intel operation that overtook TPUSA the day that Erica Franse walked into Charlie's life. I'm Dave Hodges. I trust my spouse. We were at an event last night, and I'm thinking, I'm so lucky I don't have to worry about being undermined, plotted against. My every word turned against me, my every word managed. I'm lucky, probably luckier than a lot. Unfortunately, Charlie didn't have that luck, and we're going to get into that. It just breaks my heart to make this report. Hey, so we were at a basketball game last night as spectators, and I was so sore I could barely walk up steps. And that's because I'm doing things in the gym I haven't done in over 25 years. And it's not the joints. Joints are great. It's the muscles. My backside is still hurting me today. And we're going out. My son and I are playing some golf today. And I'm hoping I can get my body through my swing because I am stiff today, but it's from the workout. What enables me? This. Sometimes I feel like when I'm punching on the heavy bag and doing everything, I have unlimited capacity, it feels like. I can go a long time. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm amazing myself. I sit there and I do these combinations. You know, I'll start off with jab, jab, cross, and then three punch combination. And I have thrown 150 punches without a break. That's pretty good, especially for someone in my dinosaur age range. This enables me to have the lung capacity and the immune system to be healthy enough to do it. This doesn't cure anything, but it really fixes your immune system by bolstering it. If it can get me through RSV with strep lung linings and a bad prognosis, it can help you. Everyone in America should be on this. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, going to be condensed here in the interest of brevity. There's some interesting coincidences, and I'll just be a coincidence theorist. Yeah, I don't know if this means anything. Erica Kirk has had a best friend for years, about, oh, 15, 16 years. Her name is Tracy Martin, and Tracy has a daughter. Not going to bring the name into it, not important. The daughter's done nothing wrong. Tracy's done nothing wrong. But a question was asked, Erica, why wasn't your key assistant at UVU, as we would assume she would have been scheduled to be there? Here was the explanation. Call it mommy intuition, as Candace describes, and I got confirmed. Tracy to her daughter, I don't think you should go to UVU. I got a bad, bad feeling. A bad feeling. And so she didn't go. And this surfaced, and people would say, well, gee, Dave, the amazing Mikey McCoy was there. Harpo was there, and Farnsworth was there, and all these, the Flood was there. Turek was there. Why should that be a big deal? I don't have an answer for that question. But here's where I get really, really suspicious. Honey, I don't think you should go. I got a bad feeling about this. And then the worst happens. I know we can chalk that up to coincidence, but I'm telling you, some of the people that have worked or were working at TPUSA at that time, they are freaked out by this. One person said to me, Dave, I wondered how long it would take for you to come across this. I said, well, stop. I didn't actually come across this. Candace did. And she said, I was waiting for this to surface. Why didn't they tell anybody else? Why didn't this mommy intuition, bad feeling person tell somebody else? Well, pretty interesting, isn't it? But it gets deeper than that because then something else has come out. Part of this started with Candace, but I got a whole lot more when I pursued this. As we look at the final days of Charlie, and I'm going to devote another segment to final days in different aspect. But it's interesting to me because sometimes people should just keep their mouth shut. Eric is a bad liar. Have you picked up on that? Anyway, she has been recounting in her media interviews in the Erica Kirk Rehabilitation Tour. Charlie's last day, he was so happy. He was giddy about going to UVU and doing a presentation. This is the part Candace gives you, and I'll give you the other part that I was told when I brought this up. He's done how many of these presentations? The novelty has worn off. He wasn't giddy because Erica said he just couldn't sleep that night. He was just so giddy. He couldn't sleep that night because he knew what the hell was coming, and he told people. And I brought this up to an anonymous source, and I'm telling you, they fear for their life, whether that fear is justified or not. And I brought that up, and they said, that is the story. And this is the thing that keeps people in line and make some other people look for other employment. And to Aubrey, who came out with her insider account of being fired. Aubrey, I know it was a terrible blow, but I think at the end of the day, you're a whole lot better off. There are some people there that I've been told just live in abject fear, which is why I know at least one person left. And they knew about Charlie's fear. They're after me. This institution is going to be the death of me, is what I've been told. And that is not one or two people that know this. From my understanding, I said, was this a general understanding? And they said, for people that he would talk to when he would retreat to his own secret lair at night, when he was so overwhelmed, he'd call people and talk. See, yes, they all would know. You'd either think Charlie truly had reason to know he was in danger, or he was paranoid, needed therapy. This is just off the charts crazy. Erica shouldn't be telling stories about Charlie because there's too many people that really knew what was happening. Like the Blue Bible, where Charlie allegedly started compiling information. And this is the other part that I've been told, is that he had ordered the audit. As we know, and you can call it an effort. I'm so sick of hearing that BS term. Okay, when you're reviewing finances, it's an audit. Sorry, that's the definition, the dictionary definition. It's the denotation, not the connotation. But when he ordered the audit, it was based on the accumulation of data that he had come upon. And he was afraid he could go to prison because of some of the financial things going on in TPUSA because the buck stops with the CEO. And he was legitimately afraid. But he also said in this is what's now come out. If something happens to me, the information is here. And remember, Erica will lie to cover it up. And as it turned out, she was plotting the whole time, according to what I've been told. She would take over meetings. Charlie became withdrawn. He was so intimidated, afraid, scared, discouraged, whatever. He stopped attending many key meetings. He had more guest hosts than he did appearances on his show towards the end. They're bugging me. They're following me. They're trying to manage me. When I brought the Candace Owens statements up, this is what I was told in return. And I question, I said to one person, why didn't you think this was important to share with me before? And the answer I got was really a good one. You didn't have the context to understand, and it would sound crazy. When I've told a couple of my family members about this, they thought I was nuts because they didn't have the context. They thought I was seeing threats that didn't exist, the monster under the bed. Charlie had monsters under his bed or in his bed. He was legitimately afraid. The contingency meeting at Fort Huachuca, I have been told that the assumption by others came to what I did. It was not a planning meeting to do something to Charlie. That had been decided a long time ago. It was the contingency rollout. And there have been leaks in social media. Charlie had a burner account. I believe it was on TikTok, is what I was told. And that he came out, and I think the message was like 15, 20 seconds long, and began to talk about betrayal, nowhere to run and hide. And then TPUSA, after the event, went to inordinate amount of effort to ban all playings of screenshots because it had already been taken down. It was taken down within minutes. The Blue Bible, this is really interesting. As the story goes, security teams were dispatched to find incriminating evidence by looking at residents other than what the primary residence was. And allegedly, they found it. One of the things I've learned about kill switches, and that's clearly what this Blue Bible was about, one of the things I've learned about kill switches is that it has to go to people who don't even have a first degree association with you or a location that does not have a first degree or even a second degree association with you. It has to go to a friend of a friend of a friend. Encryption is your best friend. And people have the key to whatever that don't have the material, the key to the encryption. And I'm not going to make this a treatise on kill switches, but basically they work like this. This is how I know Epstein's not gone. When you have damning information and you distribute it widely, high, low, left, right, east, west, and it's too numerous to contain, that upon the demise of the person, everything comes out. Charlie's kill switch was amateur, and I understand now it was easy to find. Phrases were said that we have contained the issue. I told you, in my humble opinion, I said this very early on, TPUSA is an intel operation. And we're going to add fuel to that fire by talking about the intel properties of Erica and her mother in the next segment. This is damning beyond belief. Not criminal, but it sure makes you sit back and say, what the hell was going on? I'm going to ask you if this is being suppressed widely, what we're doing. So I'm asking you because everything we put out goes on something digital, whether it's audio only, audio visual. And I'm going to ask you to share this far and wide. Because I've come to the conclusion, this isn't a Knives Out movie where we're just trying to solve a murder mystery. And it's interesting, it's entertaining, and it keeps our attention. And it's a lot better than some of the boring politics and the Guthrie tragedy, which is a horrible, horrible event. My heart goes out to the family tremendously, and I've prayed for them more than once. But I'm so sick of seeing the coverage. Because it's just, how many times can you say the same thing over and over and make it look like news? Like, you know, it's new news, right? Instead of repetitive, same old story. This is boring. News is boring. This is interesting. But this is more than interesting. And how interesting it is? Come back for the next segment. You're about ready to find out. Shocking details are surfacing from multiple directions, but they're all leading down the same path. I want to say this in conclusion. Charlie's last few days were a tortured experience. I don't care what Erica says, the people around him, there was no joy. There was paranoia, and it was earned paranoia. And it was a terrible, 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 terrible existence. I told you very early on in this investigation, I felt that Charlie knew what was coming. Now we're getting many reasons to know that my hypothesis was correct. And I can't imagine living a life where you know those that were the closest to you, the people who should have been loyally indebted and grateful to you for the opportunity and the enrichment that they enjoy, were co-conspirators against him. If not in the final event, certainly in perverting TPUSA to becoming other than what it was. Because at the end, even before Charlie was gone, this was not his organization any longer, and he knew it. Final comment. One person I talked to said he heard directly, I think I need to take a year off. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.